Welcome to another episode of the Mondo Show. You don't want to miss today's program. Listen to this. In 1906, there was a great move of God that changed the world. I believe that we are due for another Azusa moment. Stay tuned because my special guest, Jeff Oliver, co-wrote a book with Rick Joyner titled Keys to Experiencing Azusa Fire. My connection to Bonnie Bray Street, it's amazing. I want to share that powerful story that I've never shared before on why I'm here today preaching the gospel around the world through Christian television. I believe that the connection is with you as well. I want to know, what were the keys to Azusa Street and how we can experience another revival just like it took place in April of 1906. Stay tuned. This is my guest, Jeff Oliver. Hey, Mr. Jeff, how are you?
All right, how you doing, Mondo?
I'm doing great. Thank you for making time to talk about your book. Fascinating. I want to tell you something. Very few books document a revival in a way that you and Rick have captured it. How did this happen? How did you know this were the moments that needed to be inside of the book?
Yeah, actually, it was Rick Joyner. I remember it well. We were over at the former Heritage USA facility here. We were walking down the old Main Street, and he said, this was right after I had finished writing the Pentecost of the Present trilogy. And Rick said, Jeff, you need to write another book. And of course, I had just spent the last 7 years of my life writing this trilogy and researching it. And the last thing I wanted to hear is, Jeff, you need to write another book. But because he's the marketing guru, I listened. And he said, well, Jeff, what you need to do is you need to take one chapter from one of your books and write a smaller book and just expound on it. And if you do that, people will read the smaller book. And then if they like that, they'll read the larger books because people are kind of intimidated by big books. But as soon as he said that, you need to write another book from one of the chapters of your other books, I knew immediately in my spirit it had to be the Azusa Street chapter. Wow. Because like Rick says, I mean, that is the greatest act of God in the last 2,000 years since the day of Pentecost.
Wow.
So that was how it kind of got started. And like you said, I think everybody who has read that book since then has said to me the same thing. Jeff, I thought I knew the story of Azusa Street until I read your book. And that's what I kind of aimed for, was to give the details. The first time I studied Azusa, it was from a linear viewpoint, going through history, studying the events leading up to and after. But this time I just wanted to see a panoramic view of what God was doing in Los Angeles in 1906. And there were many, many movements and things going on in Los Angeles at that time. But God chose this group at Azusa Street. And I asked God why. And he said, because they were the humblest.
Wow.
And so that was the big revelation for me that I needed to write this book.
Jeff, I got to ask you this, because in America, maybe even the world, we are obsessed. When I say obsessed in a good way, to see another revival, another 1906 moment. What I am concerned about, what I'm seeing develop in the last few decades, is one missing element, because we're praying, we are fasting, we are doing conferences, we're writing books, but you just said it. We are missing humility. How do we get humility the way that group found it? Because I believe that God is looking for some humble people.
Yeah, I think it starts with hunger and desperation. Unfortunately, that's always something about human nature, is things might be bad, but they have to get really, really bad before we rise up and do something about it. And you see that all through history. Every time the church woke up from their sleep, from their slumber, God showed up in revival. We see it going back to Wesley and the Wesleyan revivals. The Holy Club was to counteract the culture and the movements that were going on at that time in deism. And they were trying to combat deism. And then they had Pentecost came. God showed up one time on New Year's Eve service. And George Whitefield was in that meeting. John and Charles Wesley were in that meeting and others. And that spawned the Wesleyan revivals that lasted for generations, of course, the Methodist Church today. And then it also it had the Great Awakening in America, America's first Great Awakening. And George Whitefield came out of that one Pentecostal experience. And again, it was just a few people that were there, but it was humility. And the way they got it was, I think they were, again, trying to combat the culture, but they were also hungering for God, desperate for God. Of course, the scripture says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, not the world, but us, the church, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, that means getting before God and not just praying, but staying in prayer and until you know that you're hearing from God, and then turn from their wicked ways. We also have to repent. We have to turn. And that's what repent means, is to turn. So I think that's how it starts, is by humbling ourselves. But that is the first step. And the way we do that is we come before God and we're serious. We're desperate. We're hungry. We know we have to get a hold of God. We know there's no other way. Like I said, we just, you know, things have to get really bad, sadly, before God's church rises up and does something about it. But that's what God's waiting for. We think we're waiting on God to bring revival. I'm sorry, God is waiting on us. You see it all through history. God was waiting on his people. And then when they woke up, God replied to that by, responded to that by showing up. And so we have to be the ones to initiate that a lot of times.
There was a lot of people involved in seeing this 1906 that changed the world forever.
Yeah.
And let's look at William Seymour. Mm-hmm. Why William Seymour? What happened to the point where William ended up in Los Angeles? And I want to go not as quickly, but quickly, because I want to ask you other questions, but why was the focus so much on William Seymour?
Yeah, again, I think it's humility. He stayed humble throughout his whole life, but it started, he went to Los Angeles. He was just going to help pastor a little mission church there, and things didn't go well, but it didn't matter. He knew he was called of God to be there, and so he sought God. And actually, when he got to Los Angeles, he had already started praying several hours a day. But the Lord told him, I want you to increase that. I want you to increase. And he was like, Lord, I'm already praying 4 or 5 hours a day. And you want me to increase it now? And the Lord said, yes, you need to increase your prayer. But he stayed in prayer. And then other people joined him. And that's what started the Bonnie Bray revival. That's what it was, started out of prayer meetings in the daytime, and then in the evenings they've eventually started the revival meetings. But it was William Seymour's heart for God that he knew that, and he actually, a lot of people think that he was already baptized with the Holy Spirit. He was already filled with the Holy Spirit at this point. He wasn't. It wasn't until the last night of the Bonnie Bray revival that he finally got filled with the Spirit. And a lot of that was because in those days they believed in tarrying for the Holy Spirit, which I believe is another key to revival that I think we've lost, because we just make baptism and speaking in tongues a mechanical thing today. But to them, it was a spiritual thing. It was an intense getting a hold of God. And like Jesus said, if a son asks his father for a fish, will he give him a snake? No, he will not. But he will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. And that was right after Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door. And the Greek there, it means to keep knocking and keep seeking and keep asking until you receive. And I think that's what we're missing today, is we just ask one time in faith and we think, well, you know, we either get it or you don't get it. But no, they kept seeking. And Jesus said that too about the woman who kept going to the judge for help, and she kept knocking and kept seeking and kept asking until finally he gave her what she wanted, granted her her justice. And so that's what we have to do. We have to keep seeking, knocking, asking, and we've got to be desperate. That's what William Seymour did. That's why this revival came about through William Seymour, because he was not willing to give up. Even the night that I was just going over this recently, but the night that he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was another guy who came in. This is like late at, like early in the morning after the revival meeting, everybody had left. And this man joined him, and he kept seeking, you know, Brother Seymour seeking the Holy Spirit, and nothing happened. And so the guy gave up and he says, it's not your time yet. And he went home. And Seymour said, no, it is my time, and I'm staying here until I get it. See, he got desperate. He got, it wasn't, that humility was a part of that desperation.
Wow.
So that's how he got.
Listen, I feel a special connection to the 1906, because I wrote a book, My Crazy Life, The Moments That Brought a Gangster to Grace. And I was in charge of a street for my neighborhood for the gang. And it was located on 6th and Bonnie Bray. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Later, I will come to be, you know, terrorized by my enemies and that were chasing after me and several of my homeboys. And I snuck in and I got inside of this home to avoid being shot at or even killed. And come to find out later in my life, I find out that the home that I broke into to hide was the Bonnie Bray home. We'll be right back with more of Jeff Oliver. But before you hear his story, I wanted to take this moment to say thank you for standing with me. Thank you for praying about supporting this program every single month. You know that right now I have an opportunity to expand this program into other networks that are going to help me preach the gospel around the world. This is a miracle because it's the first syndicated Christian program that is hosted by an ex-gang member that gets to be on these major networks doing a talk show. Will you pray about standing with me and sowing a seed that can help me bring this program into every home in America? I want you to visit my website, themondoshow.com, to either do two things. One, sow a seed, and that seed can be of any amount. Or number two, become a part of the Mondo Insider for just $25 a month. That is going to help me continue this mission every single month. And listen, it's going to take all of us together in order for this to take place. Man, what a moment we're in right now. Revival is coming. Revival is here. And it starts with you. Well, I don't want to talk anymore. I want to get back and hear more about this story that Jeff Oliver is going to share with us. Let's get back to the interview. And then when I gave my life to the Lord and I began to serve in ministry, I remember walking around and I went back, not realizing it was that home, but I saw this sign that described what that home was. And I asked the Filipino family that owned that home at that time, if I can go in and just be around that home, not realizing that it was a historical, a home that really described the move of God. And I began to spend time inside of that home. I wish I would have had pictures then, because I spent time praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. And Jeff, when in my time of seeking the Lord and praying in that home, mm-hmm. I sat in the piano that was there.
Oh, wow.
And God began to show me my future. God showed me, I've never shared this before, but God showed me that one day I was going to be speaking to millions of people from a room, and I was going to be sharing my story and letting people know that the power of the Holy Spirit can transform even the worst of gangsters, even the drug addicts. And I saw myself not realizing later in my life, I'm doing a television program that is reaching millions of people. Is that a coincidence?
Not at all. No, you were there because you were appointed by God to be there. And I'll tell you, let me tell you a story about the Body Bray House. We also went there, my wife and I, and the same lady, the Filipino lady who owned the home at the time, she invited us in. I told her I'd written some books about it. And I saw the piano as soon as we got in the door that you're talking about. And I asked her, is that the piano? And she said, yes. And then she told me a story that just blew me away. I actually share this in the Azusa Street book, but she said that, that they would have different people come like you were, and I'm allowed to stay overnight for several nights and pray at that house. And there was a famous person, remember Diana Ross in the Supremes?
Yeah.
It was one of the Supremes that she came, they invited her over to the house.
Wow.
She came and she was staying overnight at the Bonnie Bray house. And in the middle of the night, she heard the piano playing. And so she got up out of bed and went out to the living room, up to the parlor to see who was playing the piano. And there was nobody there. And she thought, oh my gosh, what is going on? This piano is playing. And so she got scared. She went back in her room. She packed her bags and she was on her way out the door. She was like, this place, and the owner of the home came out and saw her. She says, what's wrong? Is everything okay? Are you okay? And she goes, well, I was until I heard the piano playing and I went out to look and see who was playing it. And there was nobody there. And the owner of the house started laughing. She says, I don't mean to laugh at you, but she says, I just can't stay in this house because it's haunted. You know, there's ghosts here. And she said, no, that's not a ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. This actually happens all the time here at this house. She says, it's a normal thing for the piano to be heard playing in the middle of the night. But she says, that is the Holy Ghost reminding us that what he did here before, he is going to do it again today.
Wow.
And that's what the music playing that you're hearing. And of course, she was okay after that. But I thought, wow.
I know, because the moment when I sat at that piano, something came over me and I began to weep and cry. And I wanted the Lord to use me. I said, Lord, use me. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I got to offer you. I'm just an ex-gang member that fell in love with you. I don't even know where to start. But Lord, if this is where I start, then Lord, anoint me. I want you to know something. If you're watching right now, you want God desperately to use you. You have to seek him. You have to want him. You have to be willing to be crushed by him and be willing to be positioned by him and for him, because that moment and the time can happen at any moment for you. Listen, God is looking for a humble heart. God is not looking for someone that is famous and has followers on social media and has all the attention. What if you're quiet in that room that you're in right now and you want God to desperately use you? I think you're positioning yourself for the Holy Spirit to really visit you and anoint you and download to you. Sir, you have written an amazing book, Keys to Experiencing Azusa Fire, and you co-wrote it with Rick Joyner. Jeff Oliver and Rick Joyner had done an amazing job documenting really their 1906 all the way up to the downfall, if I can say that respectfully. Before I talk about why did it stop, let's talk about what happened during those meetings. I want our faith to be built. I want your faith to be recharged. I want you to believe that if God did it then, God can do it again.
Yeah, one of the most humbling parts of the meetings themselves was, again, Brother Seymour. He would often come down from upstairs where he actually lived in the second floor, and he would come down and he would come into a meeting that was already in progress, and he would take the shoebox. Now, they couldn't afford a pulpit or chairs or anything, so they just scrounged up whatever they could find to set up for the meetings. And the pulpit was actually two big shoe crates, one on top of the other, and then they had a cloth draped over it. Well, Seymour would come downstairs, he would take the cloth off, and he would take the top shoebox, and he would put it over his head. And sometimes he would sit there for 10 minutes, sometimes a half hour or more, and nobody really understood why he was doing it. It probably looked silly. People were just like, why is he putting this box over it? But he was spending time with God, hearing from God. One of the people there asked him what was going on inside that box when he had it over his head. And they said that he said that it was he was praying in tongues, but he could hear, he understood everything that he was saying while he was in that box. But they said when he took the box off his head, without fail, some of the greatest miracles would happen, like arms and legs growing out and just rooftop flames and the visible presence of God, like in the Solomon's temple, the glory of God would just come up sometimes a foot high in the room. Sometimes it would fill the entire building. Just things like that would happen after he took that box off his head. And so that was, again, a sign of humility. And they said later that when Seymour stopped putting that box over his head, that's when the miracle stopped. That's when the revival stopped. So again, the key was humility. But all of those things, like I talk about, the glory of God coming in the building, the rooftop flames, sometimes the fire trucks would come and there were no flames to put out, but you could see them. They were kind of like apparitional flames, kind of like Moses in the burning bush, where the bush was burning, but it wasn't being consumed because they were apparitional flames. And I believe that's what happened on the day of Pentecost as well. The tongues of fire were apparitional flames. So anyway, those are the types of things that happen. Miracle after miracle after miracle. The youth did all kinds of healings in between services, miraculous healings like you just would not believe. There's just never ending because of their humility and because of Brother Seymour being obedient to put that box over his head.
What is the legacy you want people to learn about the Azusa Fire, keys to experiencing Azusa Fire? What do you want your readers and the people watching? What is the legacy? And are we due for another revival just like a 1906?
Absolutely. The legacy of Keys to Experiencing Azusa Fire is for people to catch the fire, people to get a hold of God just like they did. Whatever they did, again, they were the humblest. We just have to humble ourselves to that same level and God will do it. You know, sometimes we think we got it, like you said, we got to be in a big meeting with big followers and all this. And it's not that. It's God could use anybody. If he could use these people at Azusa Street, he could use you. He could use anybody. The one that you least think, just like Mary and Joseph in the stable. Mary was probably one of the last persons you would think or pick to be the mother of the Son of God, but God picked her because of that. And that is the legacy of this book and of Azusa Street, is that anybody, if you think that you're the least person, then you are the greatest. That's what Jesus said. If you become as a child, like one of these little children, you will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. So don't put yourself down. Don't think, oh, well, that'll happen in Los Angeles or that San Francisco or some big city or some big church or big mega church. No, it can happen in your living room, just like it happened in the Bonnie Bray living room. That's where revival starts. And that's what we need to seek. And it can happen to anybody.
There you have it. Author. He's the founder and president of Global Awakening, a ministry that is inspiring and equipping a new generation with a supernatural worldview. He co-authored this powerful book, Keys to Experiencing Azusa Fire. I'm going to put a link on the screen where you can order the book right now. Get several copies. Get people around you. Start a Bible study. Begin to learn what those keys are and the keys that you can implement in your life today in order to ignite that Azusa fire in your home, in your ministry, in your business, in your marriage, in your culture, in the society. Listen, we need a 1906 moment to happen again. I believe that God is about to do miracles that you and I don't even expect. If we humble ourselves, if we repent and turn from our evil, wicked ways. Oh my goodness, listen, God wants to move. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. We can't continue to prolong a move of God. The world's going mad. The world's ready on the verge of a World War III. Economically, it doesn't look good. You know, society doesn't look good. But you know what looks good? A move of God right now. Father, I pray for humility to begin to be, Lord, something that we seek as we're facing situations in our lives, as we're facing prosperity, as we're facing economic challenges, as, Lord, as we're facing cultural challenges, Lord, we need a move of God right now in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our schools. Father, we pray for humility to be shown in ways in our lives that, Lord, we can make room for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us look forward and not backwards, but let us learn from the knowledge that took place and the power that took place in 1906. Oh, man, I pray that prayer for you. Get the book today. Jeff Oliver and Rick Joyner have documented a powerful story that was a real life story. And you and I need to learn from that history. I want to thank my special guest. Thank you for joining me today, sir. It's been an honor, a privilege. Thank you for making time.
Thanks, Geraldo.
Please come back again. I love you. Say hi to Rick for me. And listen, I want you to know something. Thank you for your support. And consider becoming a partner today and stand with The Mondo Show by visiting themondoshow.com and sow a seed. Stand with me, because when you do, I want to send you a free gift of my journey, my testimony. But more than that, let's see God move once again through Christian television. It takes you and I to do this together. What God did in the past, God is about to do even a greater work. Why? Because this generation is so hungry to see God. We just need some good men and women that continue to sow, continue to put together the plan and the structure that God has available for you and I. Don't give up on God today. I believe that restoration is coming into your home. I believe that restoration is coming to your church. And I believe that God has chose you to be a part of this next Azusa moment. Man, don't miss this moment. I gotta go. But remember this, no matter what is going on around you, keep the faith. It's gonna be all right. I love you. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.